Advent. It's Advent. I've got a little slide which will be popping up. Hey, Advent. Excuse the stock photo, but I liked it. It was fun. We're into Advent and everything that means, and it's been a time of preparation. I've just finished in school, off on a bit of holiday now, which is great. But we've had a month of singing Christmas songs and presenting a Christmas performance and all of that fun stuff, and then a week of parties, and you get to the end of it, and I spent Friday taking Christmas decorations down. And it was that odd thing of I'm de-Christmasing my house as I'm about to go home and really get Christmassy with my family and start the real, for me, the big celebration of Christmas with my family, and the children go off and do that for themselves. So Advent, I know, is different in different places, but for us in church, Advent has been going on since those candles have been lit, and we're going week by week getting ready for this, and it's exciting. And just as I was preparing this, I was thinking, what have we been told in the last few weeks about Jesus? And one of the things that stood out was when we've been doing the prayer course, Pete Gregg, one of the things he mentioned was how actually we think about Christmas time that Jesus was parachuted in. He didn't wait for us to come to him and be rescued. He jumped into the situation, and God parachuted Jesus into the situation we're in, right into the middle of the earth, to be there for us. And then if you were at the carol service last Sunday, Bev from the Salvation Army spoke fantastically on Advent, funnily enough, at the carol service. It would have been odd to do anything else. And she told a story about a man and some wild geese. And I don't want to go over it again. If you haven't heard it, I imagine it was recorded last Sunday. Maybe, possibly. No? But it will be. When it's there, go looking for that. It's a great story about a man and some geese. And it just, yeah, I don't want to spoil it. No spoilers today. But it's a really good story, the whole thing of Jesus and the purpose he came to earth and why Jesus came as a baby. And I'm going to touch on that a little bit in a minute. And the whole thing of Jesus coming to earth and the whole question of why was this so important? Why did he do it? There's a story about a little girl, girl or boy, it doesn't really matter. It was a small child, and that small child was very sad. Something had happened, and they were really unhappy. And the parents were trying to console them and saying, it's okay, you know, we'll pray. Well, let us pray with you over this. And they prayed for the situation. And as they were praying, they said, you know, we thank you, God, and prayed in the situation for joy and peace and happiness for the child, and said, there you are, how do you feel? And the child was still a bit sad, and the parents thought, God, what? But you know God loves you. And she said, yeah, I know God loves me. And he said, yeah, I just want a hug. It's easy. Sometimes you just need Jesus with skin on. And there was that really lovely thing of actually, yeah, you can pray and know God's there, but sometimes you need somebody to hold you. And Jesus coming down, and we celebrate Christmas because that's God with skin on, here in our midst, ready for us and showing us how to do it. So that's where I wanted to start today, just with where we are, with why do we celebrate Christmas? We've done it so many times, we've repackaged it so many ways. But this year, 2019, I'm going to read Isaiah 11. I'm going to go all the way back to that, and it's a familiar passage that gets read at Christmas time. And it'll come up hopefully behind me. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he would judge the needy. With justice he would give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. And as I read that, and that familiar stuff about the root of Jesse, this is Jesus. This is Jesus being prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus came as that little baby. Isaiah had this vision, had this image of the root of Jesse coming and being that, being all of those things, and bringing justice and righteousness. And then this picture of an earth where everybody is together, brought together in unity. And the wicked and those people who do wrong are brought under him. And it's this image that is just fantastic of Jesus. Of Jesus not as a baby, not as this frail little fragile thing in a manger, but as a mighty ruler. And I love it. I read that and thought, that's what I want to present for Advent this year. This is the Jesus that I think I want to think about. Because you see, as we all know, we have an understanding that if God wanted to appear on the earth at any point in history as the king, the ruler, he could have done that. At any point in history, God could appear before the multitude of the earth, reveal his glory, reveal his splendor, reveal his power, and every single person on the earth would fall on their faces and worship and praise him. That would happen. You'd have to in the presence of God. He could show his power and have complete obedience from the earth. There would be no more suffering or pain because God would be there. The world would be fixed and everyone would become believers. It would be amazing. And yet, he chooses to reveal himself in this story, at this Advent time, through a baby that can't do any of those things, that can't demand power and obedience, can't even look after itself. This is such a familiar story. The Christmas story is so familiar. But we come back to that question time again. Why is a baby? And as I was thinking, picture the baby there, hopefully, ta-da. I can see that screen, stop looking around. A baby. Why a baby? Because you see, if God had appeared, if God had said, right, I'm going to come down as a soldier, I'm going to come down as a military leader. Ta-da. Military leader. There would be people who would have said, yes, that's it. And they would have rallied around him. And for military dominance, we know that God would have been able to control and defend and oppose the wicked. And it would have been incredible. But there would have been those people who were fearful and scared and weak. Perhaps if God had come down as just a ruler, as a dominant force, as the king. I don't know who that king is. Found him on Google. Anyone? 10 points if you know. No? Okay. King, just as a ruler, one of those at-the-top rulers, human leader, come down and say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to rule, and you're going to do what I say, and you're going to follow what I do. This is who I am. I still think that wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have been right. He would have been rich. He would have been powerful. But there would have been people who wanted to rebel and not be under that rule. Perhaps if God had come down as a celebrity, 21st century, it's the thing to do. Come down as a celebrity. Harrison Ford, Mr. Han Solo, Indiana Jones. How can you wear both hats? I don't know. If he had come down as a celebrity, and all those people who think, oh, it's great to be famous, and it's great to be rich, and it's great to be well-loved by everybody. Yeah, that's the person we need. Actually, no. There would have been people who don't like that celebrity, don't care about that, recognize, actually, it's not all about that. And then you've got perhaps, if God had come down as a professor, if God had been full of intelligence and stood there as a person, a figure of intelligence, and said, I have intellect, follow me. I can solve these problems, I understand, follow me. You see, for all of those four different people, and I've just picked four, we could have had an endless list of things God could have done. In each of those cases, I still think the majority of the world wouldn't have been able to connect. They wouldn't have been able to connect through time. You've got all those people, but only the minority would have followed. God's plan was so much better. If we look at Jesus' life, the people who God reached to through Jesus' life, those few years that Jesus had on earth, it's incredible. You go all the way back to the birth stories, and there are the shepherds. You've got those lowly, simple folk. Now, I love teaching in school about the shepherds, because the children, they get dressed up with their tea towels and they walk on with the little cuddly toys. And actually you explain, no, the shepherds, you would have been the stinky ones. You would have been the disregarded. You would have been in a field. Nobody would have wanted you anywhere near you. You wouldn't have been special, I'm afraid. If you're a shepherd, sorry guys, you get invited, but that wasn't an important job. And yet, the shepherds were the first to come and find Jesus. They were announced by this heavenly host to go and find Jesus. That's incredible. It was the town folk in Bethlehem. There's no way. If this was going on and there's excitement around, people wouldn't have noticed. The other people staying in the inn would have known that there was a baby staying in the stable. It would have touched people. There would have been people seeing this massively pregnant woman wandering through on a donkey, knocking at all the doors. And all the innkeepers going, no. It would have touched people. That just the ordinary folk of the town, I think, would have been touched by the arrival of Jesus, by what was going on. I imagine a rumor would have spread of you. There's a baby in that stable lying in the manger around there. It's not very hygienic. I don't think that's the appropriate thing. It would have touched people. And then, of course, you've got the magi, the wise men. And the children of the wise men always come out and, oh, got my crown, got my little soft present now. And it's wonderful, and they think they're very special. And they are, you know, to be the wise man, to be the magi in this story. It's something special. And they bring their gifts, and we hear the stories and how they brought things that prophesied into Jesus' life. They brought these gifts, and it's incredible what they did. And they were high, and they were wise, and they were rich. And you've got that spectrum from the shepherds to the magi visiting Jesus. And I think that's why the gospel writers included that, to say, this is Jesus for everyone. And then you look at the life of Jesus. And through Jesus' life, the people he interacted with, the stories throughout the gospels of who Jesus met with. That he met with the prostitutes and the tax collectors. He met with those people who were shunned, who weren't invited to things and were hated. And then he met with his friends and families. He met with his loved ones, his disciples. He spent that time teaching. And the people, I think of Jairus and Jairus' daughter, and those family units that he went to. But he also spent time with the Pharisees and the Romans. Those people who were disliked or hated at times, the oppressive rulers of the nations. And Jesus spent time with them, and he taught with them. The Roman centurion, he ministered to his family. So many different people touched by the life of Jesus. Not just a small group of people anymore. And then after the resurrection, when Jesus had returned to heaven, his spirit stayed here on earth. And through the disciples, even more people were being touched by Jesus. I love the story of the Ethiopian and Philip, and how the Holy Spirit revealed the Bible to him and revealed who he was. And the Ethiopian was immediately baptized, and Philip just disappeared and went on to do more things. And then you've got the Gentiles throughout the Asia, because of the persecution and the church having to run away, Jesus was spread to the Gentiles who had no idea about God. Who had come out of polytheistic religions and had gone, and the Gentiles who didn't know God, hadn't had the understanding of God at all. And he reached them. The Holy Spirit was able to reach those people and spread the message. It's why we know it here in Wales. It's why we have the message as British, because that message spread. It wasn't just that small group of people anymore. And then you've got the zealots, the religious zealots, those people who knew God. Those people who absolutely knew God. The Jews who had lived a life following the law. And then the zealots who killed people who didn't follow the law. And Jesus reached those. The Holy Spirit reached into their lives. Paul was miraculously changed around from Saul and his life. Incredible what happened. That Jesus reached that man who, I think if I had met Saul, it would have been a fearful meeting. I would have feared for my life. And here's then Paul, who went on to proclaim the gospel and change the life of so many people through proclaiming the gospel. And then, of course, you can come into today. Who is Jesus reaching even today? Jesus reaches across the world. Amazing. Thank you, Mark and Noli, for bringing that, the message that you are doing, that mission you are doing in Brazil and Birmingham. And the stories, chat to those guys, the stories that they've seen with the children being helped and the groups of people being rescued because of Jesus. Those guys are amazing, but it's because of the love of God and because of the gospel message they take, which is what is important. We've got in our society, we have links with Food Bank, and we see the families who desperately need Jesus. And they're touched in this city. They're touched in this area because of God. And you've got the, I don't want to say normal, but us, the church attenders, us who come along every Sunday or, and we're involved in the service of the church, and we love coming here as family, and we love ministering and serving, and we worship God, and it's awesome. And then you've got those people who maybe are rebelling against God, who have no idea. The atheists and the agnostics and the people who are out to prove God isn't there. And you've got those people who are vehemently against the work of God in our society. And we meet those people. And that's the joy of being human, is that we meet a full spectrum of people and we carry the message of God with us. That it isn't just for us to hold on to. We've got this message to share. And the message is that Jesus is for everyone. He's the hope of all nations. And I'm going to encourage you to do a bit of homework. Over Christmas, read the stories, but have a look through, flick through Isaiah 58 to 61. Have a read through. Read those passages and see what God said to the people then about who he is, about what he, sort of what he wants. There's a passage about true fasting, which is incredible, about what God wants, about how our behavior, how our worship, our service to him, our sacrifice, is in line with what he wants. And it goes on to talk about God acting on behalf of those who repent. His love is there in those passages. That as you read it, you can see God's love for the people and what he wants from the people and how he loves them, how he will act on their behalf. And then there's hope of a future in him. Isaiah 60, 61, there's hope. It's a message of hope that Jesus is there. God is there for the people. He isn't distant. God is there and he's ready to accept. And so we have this story that started with a little baby. I know it started thousands of years before, millions of years before, when God created the earth out of nothingness. I know it started there. But this Advent story that started with this little baby and this gospel message that then is fulfilled in human life, that as Jesus grew up and lived, through the human experience, people saw and recognized what it was to be human and be God and be there. You see, Jesus showed us what we can do. He showed us that we can love one another. We can be there for each other. As human beings, we are relational. We can get alongside people one at a time as groups. And then he did what none of us can do. And by dying on the cross, by sacrificing himself, Jesus did what we can't. We couldn't step into the presence of God without Jesus doing that. We are not holy enough. We wouldn't be there. But now, because of Jesus, we can freely walk in. And that's the glory of the message of Advent. That's the joy of that, is that from that little tiny baby, so fragile, comes a relationship of eternity with God, the ruler of the universe. And we can step into that. And the bit in between, where we can be human, and actually we can be Jesus. We can be God with skin on to the people around us. And my prayer at the end, I just thought of four things. And I just want to say, I think we should be praising God for his goodness, for his mercy, and for his grace this Advent time. We should thank the Lord for our salvation through Jesus, that it only comes by Jesus. That we should ask the Father to give us what we need to go forward. That Mark and Noli, they go and try and do things like in Brazil by themselves, they will struggle, but if they go and they ask God to lead them, if they ask God to prepare the way for them, it won't be easy, but they will step into it knowing that God is there before them, will provide for them. And then finally, pray. Pray for those that we need to be Jesus to. And right now, you might be thinking of people. If you're not, I'm going to encourage you to think of somebody that you recognize that you can be Jesus to, that you can come alongside, that you can send a message to, ask how they're doing, pray for. And that's what I think Advent this year should be. It should be preparation for the jollities and festivities, but it's also recognizing who Jesus is and why he came, and that fantastic message that he's for everyone. Jesus is for everyone, through us. He uses us to go out, and it's exciting. I'm just going to pray. I want to thank you, Father God. I want to thank you that this Advent, this Christmas time, all of us will experience different things. Some of us will experience joy and family and happiness. And others may find it difficult and struggle and need help. But I want to thank you that you are there in all of those situations, that wherever we are, you stand alongside us. And you surround us with people, people to share joys with, and people to rest our heads on their shoulders and cry with. I want to thank you, Lord God, that we are in a world full of people who are both celebrating and broken. And you give us what we need to come alongside them in every situation. I want to ask, Lord, that you will strengthen us in our service to you, in our joy of coming alongside people who need you. Be the provision of not only wisdom and physical help, but of comfort and emotional support for those who need it. And I do ask, Lord God, that you will direct us to those people who are hurting and broken. Help us to take our eyes off of ourselves for a bit and focus on you and focus on other people, that we can be Jesus in these situations, that we can rejoice in the Holy Spirit who lives in us and share it. Amen.